And I want to get back into what I started two Sundays ago. This is something that the Lord spoke to me and pressed on my heart that I believe is a word for us as a church. And if you're here, then it's for you. Yes, amen.
Amen.
It's for you because you're here today. And that word is here in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. It says, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord." That's the word. That's the word for us. I believe that 2018 is a year of preparing the way for the glory of the Lord to be revealed in our lives.
Amen.
All right. So he says, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." So again, 2018 is a year of preparing the way for the glory of the Lord to be revealed. And this is on many levels. I hope you'll hear this personally. I hope you'll take this personally. And I hope you'll say in your heart that in 2018, I'm going to prepare the way for the glory of the Lord to be revealed in my life, in my house, in my family. Praise God. And so we talked about that last week. And I want to mention some of the points in that in a moment here. But then it's also, I believe, for our church, for City on a Hill Church. And so it stands to reason, if we take to heart that God wants to reveal His glory to us personally, and we allow Him to begin to do that, what do you think is going to happen when we come together?
Amen.
When we have taken the steps in our heart to prepare the way for the glory of the Lord to be revealed in us, and God is working in our hearts, when we gather together for corporate worship, I'm telling you, something powerful Amen. Is going to take place.
Amen.
Amen? And so it stands to reason that's what's going to happen. And then on this level, for the whole world. Everybody say the whole world.
The whole world.
I know that sounds big. And I know you may be thinking, look, there's just a handful of us in here. How in the world can we affect the whole world? You ever read the Bible?
Amen.
Yes. Have you ever read the Bible? Have you ever read what God did? Did you ever read what God did with Gideon? Gideon had an army of 32,000, and God said, no, that's too many. And then 22,000 of them went home. And they had 10,000 left, and God says, that's still too many. And they got down to 300, and God says, now I can do something with you.
Amen.
Now I can do something.
Amen.
And He took Gideon and his band of 300 men and defeated the whole Midianite, huge Midianite army, thousands and thousands and thousands. Amen?
Amen.
So God can affect the whole world with just a few.
Amen.
Amen. And the way He does it, see, the Holy Spirit is the orchestrator of all of this. And the Holy Spirit is working throughout the earth. He's working in congregations just very similar to this throughout all the earth. And He knows how to knit all that together. And He knows how to take the supply of what He's called us to do here and put it with what others are doing. And even though there may not be an organized by man effort to unite us all together, the Holy Spirit can do that if we follow Him. And we can affect the nations. We can affect the whole world by the part that we do right here.
Amen.
Amen. So look at verse 5 again of Isaiah 40. It says, "The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and how many shall see it?
All
flesh." Well, you already answered the question correct earlier. What does all mean?
All
means all. That means all people, right? The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together.
Amen.
That sounds like a whole wide world.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. That sounds like the whole world seeing something.
Amen.
That sounds like the glory of the Lord being revealed to the whole world. It says, "For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." This is something God said.
Yes.
This is something that God said. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. And so what we do right here can have an effect on the glory of the Lord being revealed in all the earth. I personally believe that our prayer school that we do on Wednesday mornings, that's where I see us having a major effect through our prayers led by the Holy Spirit on the glory of the Lord being revealed. And actually, this is where God began speaking this entire theme to me of 2018 as a year of preparing the way for the glory of the Lord. It was in our prayer school back in the fall. And I mentioned that, I think, 2 weeks ago. But it just began to build as we would pray, and just that theme and that purpose of God, that's what He wants to do in us and through us for His glory to be revealed. God wants His glory to be revealed in your life personally, but He doesn't want to stop there. He wants it to be revealed when we come together, and for the Holy Spirit to have free access to move and work. You know, there's a presence of God that you can experience collectively, that we experience collectively when we come together, that we just can't reach and touch individually and personally. That's why we need to come together. That's why it's important. Amen. And certainly when we set our hearts that, Lord, let Your glory be revealed in my life personally, when we set our hearts for that, and then when we come together, then again, just a greater release of His glory can be experienced, I believe. Amen. I believe we're going to see that. And we talked, we talked about this 2 weeks ago. For the glory of the Lord to be revealed, there must be preparation. Everybody say preparation.
Preparation.
And again, preparation sometimes is not the fun part. You know, I talked about painting. Anybody ever do any painting, like interior, especially interior painting? Yeah, man, I hate the preparation. And I don't mind, you know, give me a roller, give me a tray full of paint. I love rolling it. But it's all the stuff you got to do before you start. And then after that, there's a cleanup, too. I don't like that too good, do you? But there's got to be preparation. Without preparation, it won't happen. You're going to have a mess. If you don't prepare, you start slinging paint around, you're going to have a mess. Right? You got to do the prep work. It may not be fun. It may not be exciting. You know, it may be tedious, but it's got to be done.
Yes.
Amen. And there's got to be prep work for the glory of the Lord to be. Then when the glory of the Lord is revealed, that's fun. That's the fun part. But the preparation work has to be done.
Oh, yeah.
It has to be done. All right. And we talked about the steps to take for personally for the glory of the Lord to be revealed in our lives personally. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. I'll just run down them just to remind you. The first one is repentance. John the Baptist quoted this scripture in Isaiah 40 when he came on the scene. He said, I'm a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. And John was preparing the way for the people to receive Jesus. Jesus, when Jesus came, that was the glory of God revealed in the earth. Amen? And John prepared the way for that. How did he do it? The Bible says that he came preaching a baptism of repentance. A baptism of repentance. And so for the glory of the Lord to be revealed in our lives, there must be repentance. What does that mean? What is repentance? It means turning from sin. It means turning from ways that are contrary to God's ways and saying, I'm going to go God's way. I'm going to, in any area in our life, God grants us the gift of repentance. It's a gift. Repentance is a gift. To be able to repent is a gift. To have the opportunity to repent is a gift. Amen? And we should see it as such. Praise God. And so number one, repentance, turning from anything that is not in agreement and in alignment with the ways of God. Once God shows you that. Now, if you don't know any better, God has mercy on you until it's revealed. And so once you see that you need to change, that's not in alignment with God's way, and you say, God, I want to go Your way, you turn and you go in God's way. That's repentance. That's what repentance is. The second one is this. The second thing in preparing the way personally, learning to trust God, learning to listen to His voice and follow His timing. Now, again, I'd encourage you to get the message from 2 weeks ago if you weren't here, to hear all that again. And I also would recommend, when we've got some copies of them, I quoted from Kenneth E. Hagin's book, Following God's Plan for Your Life. This second point, I read some excerpts from the book on this second point here. I would encourage you to get that book. We have some copies in the bookstore. It's a green book called Following God's Plan for Your Life. It's on the front display out there. So some people asked me about the book after that message 2 Sundays ago. The third thing is this: give yourself to developing the gifts that God has put in you. And we talked about that New Year's Eve Sunday. We talked about a new resolution. You know, a lot of times people make New Year's resolutions and they say, I need to do better at this. And they focus on their weaknesses. You know, a lot of times we focus on what we're lacking. We focus on our weaknesses and we try to do better. But I say, let's focus on our strengths. I say, let's focus on the gifts that God's put in us and let's develop those. That's really key to you and me preparing the way for the glory of the Lord in our lives. Amen? So develop the gifts that God has put on the inside of you. And then number four, the fourth thing, develop your faith as never before. The Bible says that when Jesus comes back, he's going to be looking for faith. He said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in the earth? So develop your faith as never before. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's look at this again in Isaiah 40. I'm going to read verses 3 and 4. Again, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley should be exalted, every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places should be made straight, and the rough places smooth. That's the preparation work. But notice he says, make a highway for our God. And I ask the question, does God need a road to travel on? Well, not really. He's God. But what is a road? If you think about it, a road is an access. It's a way of access. It's a way that you can access a geographical location. If you're in one location, if you're in Cumming and you want to get to Lawrenceville, you know, in order to access Lawrenceville, you have to have a road to travel on, right? And so what God is saying here, what the scripture is saying here, a highway for our God is what, when we prepare the way for his glory in our lives, we're making an access for God to come in our life. You know, he only comes in our life when he's invited in.
Amen.
Amen. He only comes where he's welcome and where he's invited. And so in that preparation work, we can make a way, an ease of access. And a highway is a way for, when you talk about a highway, That's where it can be accessed quickly and efficiently.
Amen.
Amen. So we want God to be able to access our lives quickly and efficiently, right?
Yes.
Prepare the way.
Yes.
Prepare the way for that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. I want to read something to you out of Patsy Caminiti's book, and this will tie in. We use this in our prayer school, and this will tie in with the part that I believe that we can play in the glory of the Lord being revealed in the whole world. Again, we're not just interested in our lives. Amen. We want God's glory in our lives, but let's not be selfish about this. God wants to use you and me to affect the whole world.
Yes, amen.
Yes. Amen. In fact, why don't you say that? Say, God wants to use me.
God wants to use me.
To affect the whole world.
To affect the whole world.
Amen. Amen. All right. Here's what Patsy says. She says, to be sure, the highway to be made for our God cannot and is not built by our might or power, but glory to God, it is by the Spirit's might. There is supernatural and divine equipment to do what we need to do in order for the glory of the Lord to be revealed. Through effective prayer, we are building a highway that will give access into particular places for the glory of God to be revealed. There is a ministry in prayer which is comparable to road building, where diligence and persistence are required if the road is ever to be finished. How many of you have discovered that it takes a while? When they start doing road work? How many of you notice it takes a while? That it's not done on one weekend?
Yeah.
It's the next weekend. And it's the next weekend. And it's the next weekend. Yeah. For 6 months. For a year. For a year and a half.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
It takes a long time. Amen?
Amen?
And some of these things, to affect the whole world with the glory of God, it's going to take some time. It's going to take God's people praying with persistence and diligence.
Amen.
Well, we've made a commitment here in our prayer school. We're locked in. We're not going anywhere. We're not going to get distracted. We know what our assignment is, and we're going to stick with it. Amen.
Amen.
And anybody's welcome to come. We'd love to have you join this illustrious group. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. The pay is great, by the way. The pay is great. God promised us that. Now, payday may not come every Friday, and it's not going to be written off the City on the Hill Church account, but God will pay you. God will pay you
Amen.
For putting His things, making His things a priority and giving yourself to that.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. So you're welcome to join us. All right. I'll finish up with what Patsy says right here. Sometimes high and exalted thinking is brought down during times of prayer. Sometimes low things, even people who don't think they can do anything and are paralyzed by ignorance or intimidation, are brought up. Every high thing, every mountain will be brought low, every hill will be brought low, and every valley will be brought up.
Amen.
All right, that's what the scripture said. Crooked things, things which aren't right, are straightened up. We've prayed about a lot of that.
Yes.
We've prayed about crooked things being made straight, and God's been doing that.
Amen.
Amen. Crooked things, things which aren't right, are straightened up, and rough things are made smooth. We keep praying as the Holy Spirit directs us until the road reaches that destination, and the glory of the Lord is revealed in that place, and all flesh can see it together. Through effective prayer, we actually make the road on which the glory of God will travel.
Amen.
Isn't that
Amen.
Exciting?
Yes.
You can be a part of that. Even if you can't join us here, I know some folks are not able to join us here on Wednesday morning, but even if you can't do that, as you give yourself to praying, as you say, Lord, I want to pray for your glory to be revealed in all the earth, you give yourself to that, God will lead you, and you can be a part and have a part in the road being made that the glory of God will travel on. Amen. It's a year to do that. 2018 is a year of preparing the way for the glory of God. Now, how I want to finish this up today is this. My job, the Holy Spirit showed me, I was praying about, Lord, how do I present this today? How do I help people to see it? How do I help people to get, you know, this is kind of, in some ways, maybe it's kind of a concept that's not as easily to get a hold of as things about our personal lives sometimes. But I thought, Lord, how do I, help me communicate it in a way people can see it. And what he spoke to me was, he says, your job is to sell the congregation on the glory of God.
Amen.
So I'm going to sell you on the glory of God
Amen.
Today.
Amen.
Now, you know that advertising, that's big business, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, the Super Bowl's coming up in 3 weeks. And or is it 2 weeks? 2 weeks. Yeah, 2 weeks from today. Yeah.
2 weeks.
2 weeks from today, the championship games are today. And then those teams that win today will go to the Super Bowl in 2 weeks from today. And the 30-second ad that aired during the Super Bowl is millions of dollars. Just the airtime, besides all the money they spend to produce it, which is usually a lot of money, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars there. And it's big business. And why do they do it? Why do these companies do it? Do they do it just because, oh, we got $40 million to spend. You know, we can burn it or we can buy a Super Bowl ad. No, they're very calculated. And they know that their investment of $30,000 is going to bring a return in sales or $30 million is going to bring a return in sales of maybe hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't. That's why these companies stay in business. They're not stupid, amen. Right. And so they know that advertising is important. So what is the purpose of advertising? Well, number one, to make you aware of the product. You might not know they even made those things.
Amen.
You might not even know that Taco Bell has that on the menu now. Are you kidding me? I didn't know they had a breakfast stacker. That looks awesome. Yeah, right? Have you had? Yeah, it's only a dollar, yeah. So to make you aware of the product, number one, all right? And then this, once you're aware, to convince you that you want and you need and you cannot live without that product.
Right.
I may drop dead tomorrow if I don't get a breakfast stacker. I better go get one. That's not my confession. I'm just thinking that's what somebody may think. But that's the purpose of advertising, to convince you, to make you aware of the product, and then convince you that you want it, that you need it, and that you can't live without it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm here today to sell you on the glory of God.
Amen.
And then the last thing about advertising that they do, now this may not be with a $1 breakfast stacker at Taco Bell, but what about that new car? To convince you, the last thing is to convince you it is worth the price.
Yeah.
It is worth the price. So I want to make you aware today that there is such a thing as the glory of God.
Amen.
You might not have been aware of that. There is such a thing as the glory of God.
Yes.
And I want to convince you by the help of the Holy Spirit today that you want it
yes.
and that you need it.
Yes.
and that you can't live without the glory of God.
Yes, amen.
I hope the Holy Spirit will convince you today that you want the glory of God in your life.
Yes.
I hope the Holy Spirit will, I trust that the Holy Spirit will convince you today that you need the glory of God in your life. And I trust that the Holy Spirit will convince each one of us today that we cannot live without the glory of God.
Amen.
And finally, I trust that the Holy Spirit will convince us all today that it's worth the price.
Yes.
It is worth the price to have the glory of the Lord revealed in our lives,
Amen.
In this church, and in the earth.
Amen.
See, we're responsible for this generation. We're responsible.
That's right.
Each generation of believers is responsible for their generation of the earth, of the people on the earth, and the people that need to know God and that need to hear. We're responsible. Amen?
Amen.
So I want to convince you, by the help of the Holy Spirit, that it's worth the price.
Amen.
Yes.
For your life, but not just for your life, for the world. Amen?
Amen.
I want us to be able to go out of here today saying we're going after the glory of God in 2018. I'm going to prepare the way for the glory of the Lord in my life in 2018. Look at some scripture with me here. Exodus 33, verse 12, and this is in the New Living Translation. We're going to alternate between the New Living and the New King James through this passage here. Exodus 33, 12. One day, Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, take these people up to the promised land. But you haven't told me whom you will send with me." In other words, I need some help here, Lord. "You have told me, I know you by name, and I look favorably upon you." Well, I appreciate you saying it, Lord, but I need to see it. "If it is true that you look favorably on me, let me know your ways, so I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. And remember that this nation is your very own people." Lord, these are your people. The Lord replied, "I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you."
Amen.
He's getting ready to talk about His glory. He's getting ready to talk about His glory. The New King James Version of verse 14, it's up there. Okay, great. And He said, "My presence," everybody say, "My presence."
My presence.
He said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." My presence will go with you, and I'll give you rest. The glory of God, you might want to write this down. The glory of the Lord, or the glory of God, is three things here. The glory of God is His manifested presence. When we talk about the glory of God, we're talking about His presence being manifested. Yes, God is everywhere, but there are times where He manifests His presence, and you become aware, God is here. God is here. That's His manifested presence. The glory of God is also His manifested power. And then finally, thirdly, the glory of the Lord is His manifested goodness. So go back to verse 14 in the New Living for a moment, Amy. The Lord replied, "I will personally go with you." My presence, the New King James says, "My presence will go with you. I'll give you rest. Everything will be fine for you." See, when you make a way, when you prepare the way for the glory of the Lord to be revealed in your life, you know what's going to happen? Everything's going to be fine.
Amen.
Everything's going to be fine
Amen.
For you. Does that appeal to anyone?
Amen.
Is that a selling point today? Everything being fine for you? Everything being fine in your life?
Amen.
Well, you get the glory of God in your life and everything will be fine.
Amen.
His manifested presence, His manifested power, and His manifested goodness in your life, everything will be fine.
Yes.
There's nothing, there's no need, there's no situation, no circumstance you're dealing with that the glory of God, His manifested presence, power, and goodness can't fix
Amen.
And can't take care of.
Amen.
All right? And then verse 15 in the New King James, "Then he," Moses, said to God, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here." What is Moses saying? Moses is saying, "I can't live without the glory of the Lord.
Amen.
I can't live without it. I need it. I want it. I need it. And I can't live without it." That's what he's
Amen.
Saying. Amen. That's the way we have to be to really go after this. Verse 16, back in the New Living Translation, he says, "How will anyone know that you look favorably on me?"
on me and on your people if you don't go with us. I mean, it's fine for you to say it, but we need some tangible evidence of it here. For your presence, get this, this is so powerful. For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all other people on the earth. Do you know what sets us apart from all the other people on the earth? God's presence with us, among us. The glory of the Lord among us sets us apart from all other people on the earth. Amen? The Lord, verse 17, the Lord replied to Moses, I will indeed do what you've asked, for I look favorably on you, and I know you by name. Moses responded, then show me your glorious presence. Then show me your glorious presence. In the New King James, it says, show me your glory. Show me your glory. One of the speakers, I was at, as some of you may know, or did I may have said it earlier. I did say it. I was at a minister's conference, at Kenneth Copeland's minister's conference in Fort Worth, Texas this week, and or this past week, and one of the speakers was Jerry Savelle, and a lot of you know who Jerry Savelle is, and he said this, he said the Lord directed him to do this. He said, tell every believer, this is what he said the Lord said to him, tell every believer everywhere you go in 2018. So I heard it, so I'm going to pass it along to you. Brother Jerry Savelle might not make it to City on a Hill Church this year, but I heard him say it. He said it to me, so I think I'm authorized to pass it along to you. You agree with that?
Yes.
All right, here's what he said. Here's what the Lord told him to say. Tell every believer everywhere you go in 2018 to say, Lord, show me your glory.
Amen.
He talked about the glory of the Lord and the glory of God. And from this verse, Lord, show me your glory. He said, tell every believer everywhere you go in 2018 to say, Lord, show me your glory, and tell them to keep this on their lips and in their prayers.
Amen.
So I don't know if you followed my example. Every morning when I got up in 2017, I would say, thank you, Lord. 2017 is my year of rich fulfillment and great abundance. Well, 2018, you can keep saying that if you want to. I think it's appropriate to carry that over, but add this to it. Keep this on your lips and keep this in your prayers. Lord, show me your glory. Can we start right now? Can we start right now? Say it with me. Lord, show me your glory. Let's say it one more time. Lord, show me your glory. Keep that on your lips and keep it in your prayers in 2018. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. All right. So go with me to chapter 34, Exodus 34 and verse 2. He said, so be ready in the morning. Oh, excuse me, verse 19. I missed verse 19. Go back to 33:19. The Lord replied, I will make all my goodness pass before you. What did Moses ask for? Lord, show me your glory. And God responded by saying this, okay, I'll make all my goodness pass before you. So his glory and his goodness are interchangeable. David said, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. All right. God said, the Lord said, I'll make all my goodness pass before you, and I will call out my name, Yahweh, before you. For I will show mercy to anyone I choose. You know who he's chosen?
Oh, yeah.
He's chosen you.
Amen.
And I will show compassion to anyone I choose. You know who he's chosen?
Yeah.
You.
Amen.
Chapter 34, verse 2 now. Here's what he said to Moses. So be ready. Everybody say, be ready.
Be ready.
That's preparation. That's preparation. So be ready in the morning and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself to me there on the top of the mountain. So that's some preparation. That was Moses. Moses had to prepare himself, right?
Yes.
He had to be ready and he had to go up on the mountain, right?
Yes.
Verse 5, now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth
That's who he is. That's his glory. Moses said, show me your glory. And God said, here you go. Here you go. All right. Well, we'll skip down. We'll go down to verse 29 now. Verse 29. Now it was so when Moses came down from Mount Sinai and the two tablets of the testimony, that's the Ten Commandments, were in Moses' hand when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone when he talked with him. So while Moses was up there with God and in the presence of God, the glory that was emanating from God actually got on Moses' face, and Moses' face started glowing.
Amen.
If you would have seen him that day, it would be like his face was illuminated. It was backlit.
Amen.
Amen.
And illuminated.
Amen.
With the glory of God.
So
when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone. And they were afraid to come near him. They thought, whoop, somebody must be doing some nuclear testing up on that mountain, Moses. You've been infected with radiation. No, he was radiating, all right, but it was with the glory.
Amen.
It was with the glory of God.
Amen.
Amen. Now, here's the point on this. When you get into the presence of God, the glory of God will come on you, and you might not even be aware of how much it's changing you, how much it's transforming you, but you come down out of that place, and people are going to say, whoo, I see something different about you. Whoo, what's that on you?
Amen.
I believe literally that as we move into this and as we experience the glory of the Lord, I believe the same thing will happen to us. I believe we'll shine. The Bible says go to the book of Acts. I don't have this in my notes, but we can find it real quick. In the book of Acts, chapter 7, I think it is. Stephen, who was the first martyr of the church. Chapter 6, verse 15. Stephen was not even an apostle. He was one of the first deacons. He was over the food ministry, Royal. He and six other guys were over the food ministry.
Yeah.
And all right, well, you not only have natural help, but you can have some supernatural help here.
Amen.
And in their food ministry, it's like ours is developing into. It says that through their hands there were signs and wonders done,
amen,
and
amen,
miracles and healings.
Amen.
Verse 8, Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people as he was passing out food.
Amen.
Verse 15 of Acts chapter 6, it says, and all who sat in the council. Can we pull that up, Amy? Acts 6:15, there we go. Thank you. Acts 6:15, and all who sat in the council, looking steadfastly at him, saw his face as the face of an angel.
Amen.
If you look at every account of the Bible about angels, you see that they shine with the glory of God. Stephen's face was shining. That's New Covenant. That's New Testament.
Amen.
His face was shining,
amen,
with the glory of God.
Amen?
Amen?
Yes.
Praise God. All right. So we can have that. Amen. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians, and we'll wrap up right here now. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7, the New Living Translation. Paul is looking back at this account that we just read about in Moses, and I want to connect this. What we're doing now, what Paul is doing, is connecting that Old Testament example of Moses with New Testament reality. Now, that's where we're living now, right?
Yeah.
Amen? All right. Verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 3, the old way with laws etched in stone led to death, though it began with such glory that the people of Israel could not bear to look at Moses' face. Moses was coming down that mountain holding the Ten Commandments. You know what the Ten Commandments brought? It brought death, because thou shalt not on all of those. And guess what? They were shalling. Amen. They were shalling on the thou shalt nots. And they couldn't, in their own ability, they couldn't keep those Ten Commandments. In fact, the Bible says the law was given to expose our sinfulness and our need of a Savior.
Amen.
All right. So this was the ministry. This was the old way
with the laws etched in stone led to death, though it began with such glory that the people of Israel could not bear to look at Moses' face, for his face shone with the glory of God, even though the brightness was already fading away. Verse 8, look at this. Shouldn't we expect far greater glory?
Amen.
Well, what do you think? Should we?
Oh, yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Shouldn't we expect far greater glory under the new way?
Amen.
Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Shouldn't we expect far greater glory under the new way now that the Holy Spirit is giving life? You want to know something interesting? The day that Moses brought the law down from the tablets down, the people had rebelled against God and people died. I think there were several thousand that died that day. Do you know that was the same day on the Jewish calendar as the day of Pentecost? And when the Holy Spirit... See, when the law came, people died. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell, 3,000 people got saved that day. Glory to God. Life came.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Shouldn't we expect far greater glory?
Yes.
Well, we should.
Yes.
I say we ought to.
Yes.
And I say let's begin to.
Yes.
Shouldn't we expect far greater glory under the new way? Now that the Holy Spirit is giving life. Now, let's skip down to verse 18. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified Bible. And all of us, everybody say all of us.
All of us.
Say, that means me.
That means me.
Amen. You're included in all of us, aren't you? And all of us with unveiled face. Moses had to put that veil over his face. But when he would go in the presence of God, he would take the veil off so he could soak up more of that glory. Well, that's how we are. As unveiled face, because the Bible says when we turn to the Lord, when we repent and we turn to Him, the veil that hides us from the reality of God and that clouds our minds from the reality and the wonder of God, that veil is taken away when we turn to the Lord. All right. And all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the Word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. The Bible says that the Word of God is a mirror. How is it a mirror? Because this is who we really look like. This is who the New Covenant believer looks like. That's who you really look like. When you look into the Word of God, you might not feel that way, but that's how you look. That's why you need to keep looking in this mirror. Because you'll eventually begin to be and live. If you keep looking at it, then you'll be convinced, hey, this is who I am. I'm not what it seems like I am or what I feel like I am. I'm who this Word says I am. That's what I look like. And you'll begin. And what is happening when we do that, it says, we continue to behold in the Word of God as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. The glory of God's coming out of His Word into us. We are constantly being transfigured into His very own image in ever-increasing splendor, and from one degree of glory to another. One degree of glory. There's degrees of the glory. And it says we're constantly being transfigured into His very own image. The Bible says in the book of Romans that God has predetermined, predestined, that those who believe in Jesus are going to be conformed to the image of Jesus. How does that happen? It comes by degree. By one degree of glory, from one degree of glory. And listen, it doesn't happen when you think, well, I'm waiting on when I get to heaven, then that's going to happen. No, it's for here.
Amen.
I said it's for here. I said it's for here. Paul wasn't talking about when you get to heaven, you're going to do this. No, when you behold in the Word of God the glory of the Lord, you're being transformed and transfigured into His very own image in ever-increasing splendor and from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Now, another speaker at the meeting was Sister Billy Brim. And some of you know who she is. And she says, well, she said, I've been teaching a lot on prayer lately and a lot on authority and some of those things. She says, but the Lord said that I am to teach on the glory of God. She talked about the glory of God in her session. And she said that. She made the statement from this scripture, there are degrees of the glory of God. She said, in this year, you'll see a great increase in the glory of God.
Amen.
And she said this, the church will be changed from glory to glory until the rapture is just one more step.
Amen.
Some people think, how's the rapture going to happen? How's it going to take place? The church is going to be transformed from glory to a greater degree of glory, to a greater degree of glory, to a greater degree of glory, until we're raptured.
Amen.
One more step, just one more step into the glory.
Amen.
I want to ask you this morning, are you convinced yet that you need and that you want and that you cannot live without the glory of God?
Amen.
And Reed, come on back up if you would. Are you convinced that it's worth the price?
Yes.
Are you willing to pay the price?
Amen.
One other way of advertising and reading begin to play. Oh, let's do a God of Miracles. Would you do that?
Thank you.
Another effective way of advertising is demonstration, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Have you ever been in the grocery store?
Yeah.
Some of you plan your lunches around that. You go in the grocery store and the lady's there. Would you like to try a free sample of this turkey or this sausage or this cheese? And you go by and get your free samples and get your lunch that way. So it's a free lunch, right? Yeah, anybody ever? I don't know if they still do this or not. Anybody ever been to the mall and sat in the massage chair?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So demonstration is an effective way of advertising as well. We're not just going to tell you about it on TV. We want you to come and taste it.
Yes.
We want you to come sit in it.
Amen.
We want you to experience it. Yes. Everybody say experience it.
Experience.
Well, that's the way God is about His glory.
Amen.
Look at what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. He said, "In my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in what?
Demonstration.
In demonstration. Of the Spirit and of power." He said, when I came and brought the message of Jesus to you, it wasn't just words, demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why? That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
Amen.
Praise God. Now, everybody stand up with me if you would.
Amen.
Praise God. One thing I want to do before we go today in the area of demonstration. Now, the last night of the conference, anybody know who Richard Roberts is? Anybody ever heard of Oral Roberts?
Yes.
Richard Roberts is his son, and he has a tremendous healing ministry. The healing anointing and healing ministry that was on Brother Oral Roberts is certainly on his son, Richard Roberts. And Brother Copeland invited him to come for the last night to do a healing service. And it was just wonderful, just fantastic. And Richard Roberts said this. He said, "You pastors out there," he said, if you've not been praying for the sick in your services, you need to start. And you need to start this Sunday.
Amen.
So I'm going to follow the direction of my elders in the Lord. And we're going to pray for those that need healing. So if you need healing, I want you to come down here. We're going to minister to you. I believe there's a mighty anointing that the glory of God is going to be manifested.